No, sorry. You spend time with them in real life situations. That's what Jesus did. Acts 4:13 says, "And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They spent time with him. The disciples spent time with Jesus, and Jesus spent time with them. So you need to spend time with them in real life situations, not in artificial classroom situation. Classroom is artificial. I don't have one room in my house that's set up like a classroom. No, none. My house, well, yeah, you got a bunch of them in your house. I don't live in a four-story mansion in Kuwait either, brother. No, you know. I don't have a church that meets in my, or seven churches or however many congregations that meet in my house either, you know. But classroom is artificial. And a lot of what we learn in the classroom, learned in an artificial environment, becomes artificial because it doesn't translate to real life. One of the biggest complaints of seminaries and Bible colleges is it gave me a lot of head knowledge, but it didn't teach me how to do what I learned. You learn that in life situations. And another thing that you need to do to get to know them is visit their home. Go see where they live. And here's the hardest one. This is something Tony and I were taught that you never, if you do this, you're going to get excommunicated out of the ministry. Let them visit your home. Oh, God forbid that anybody that's not my equal or better would ever step foot in my house. No. You go see where they live, and you let them see where you live. Acts 1:39, and he says unto them, "Come see." And they came and they saw where he dwelt, and they abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. See, there's something about getting in a person's home. Now, unless you know them real well, don't do what I'm getting ready to tell you I do. Okay? My guys in West Africa, I know them well. We've been working together for 8 years. When I go stay with them, I don't stay in a hotel. When I go to their countries, I stay in their homes. And I go to the kitchen and I open all the cabinets and I look to see what they have. I go to the bookshelf and I start looking at what books they've been reading. I open the video cabinet and find out what movies they've been watching. Because we have that kind of relationship. They all call me dad. Well, that's what I did with my kids. There was nothing in my kids' room that was private to them as long as they were eating my food, living under my roof, okay? You want your privacy? Fine, go get your own apartment, pay your own bills, and you can have all the privacy you want, okay? But that's one of the ways you get to know people is spend time in their house. Let me give you an example. One of my most fruitful guys came to my house 2 years ago. Stayed with me for about a week. We were doing a lot of ministry. My wife was ministering with us. We were traveling around. I got up every morning and made breakfast. I washed all the dishes. I did the laundry. And he said, "Brother, what are you doing all this for?" I said, "Well, I expect my wife to be full-time in the ministry with me. So for her to have the time to do that, I must take part of her responsibility." Well, the next thing I know, he's on the phone calling back to his country in Africa, apologizing to his wife. He said, "Honey," he says, "I'm sorry." He says, "I expect you to, you know, to be full-time in the ministry with the church. And then I yell at you because you don't have my clothes laid out and the kids' clothes laid out and you don't have breakfast fixed and you don't have all of these things ready and you're late for church." He said, "I'm sorry. When I get home, we'll look at the responsibilities and I'll take part of them so that you can do what I would like you to do in the ministry. Now, I didn't teach that to him. I never said that to him. He just observed by living in my house what I did. And it changed his life. Man, the next time I saw his wife, she came up and hugged me and kissed me. And she said, "Brother, thank you." Yeah, you know. So, get in their life. That's the whole thing. You don't get to know them until you get involved in their life and they get involved in your life. Then you need to minister with them. Get them in ministry opportunities and watch how they minister. This is the way that you learn their strengths and their weaknesses. And if you're going to be a discipler, ask the Holy Spirit to help you learn active listening skills. It's amazing what you can learn when you listen. Amen? And it's not always listening to what they say. It's listening to what they wish they said. Or listening to what they mean by what they're saying. And you only learn that when you really get close to them by spending time with them. So the first thing you need to do is you need to get to know them. You will never disciple someone unless you get to know them. Number two, the second practical thing in discipleship making is discipleship must be tailor-made. Discipleship is individual. It is tailor-made. Now, I've had a lot of suits in my life. I don't wear too many anymore. I've gotten delivered from that bondage, hallelujah. But I do still have some. But all of the suits that I've bought in the past were what we call rack suits. I went to a men's store. I saw a suit I liked. I picked it off of the rack. It was already made, and I bought it. Maybe they had to take the pants up or do a little alteration, but it was a pre-made off-the-rack suit. 2 years ago, I went with Big Dad to Korea. It was my 52nd birthday. And the Korean pastors took me, or with Pastor Tim, took me to a tailor. And I had my very first ever tailor-made suit. I've bought a lot of really nice suits. And this one wasn't expensive as some of the off-the-rack suits I've bought. But every time I wear it, I get comments about that suit. People go, "Brother, that suit looks like it was made for you." Well, it was. Thank you. And see, discipleship is not that way. What we've tried to make discipleship is off-the-rack suits of clothes for people. I just go to the rack, everybody wears the same thing. No, discipleship is tailor-made for each individual disciple that you are working with. I have three children, two boys and a girl. All three of them are totally, completely different. My discipleship, my discipline, everything for my children had to be tailor-made. I treated each one of them differently according to their personality and what they were going through at the time. And discipleship needs to be tailor-made. And the way we do that is we look at the potential that's inside of them. And then we move them from where they are to their potential. My job as a discipler is to look at their potential and then help them move from where they are to what God has called them to be. We look for signs of fruitfulness. In a disciple, I don't look for fruit. I look for signs of fruitfulness. What do I mean? I've got some orange trees at my house, and I can go out and look at that tree and tell you if it's going to bear fruit or not, and never see the first orange. I see some little flowers on it.